So the reason why I picked this case is because there's a lot of post-confirmation jurisdiction cases lately. You heard a little bit about that in the first panel this morning, and you'll notice that we summarized quite a bit of those in our materials. This one I thought was the most interesting to me because it brought into focus just a little bit more what is the bounds of related to jurisdiction. The facts here are quite complex. I don't need to go through them, but you do need to kind of know who the parties are. The main party is Genma, who is a subsidiary of Genon, and Genon was in bankruptcy, Genma not in bankruptcy. During the bankruptcy case, one of the most significant disputes was with some lessors. There was a settlement that whereby Genma agreed, so again, the non-debtor, agreed to pay the debts of the lessor, right? So the agreement was between Genma, non-debtor, Genon, debtor, and lessors. That settlement was the foundation of the Chapter 11 plan that Judge Jones ended up confirming. So after plan confirmation, or maybe it was right around, one of the debtor's lenders sued, or maybe it was Genma's lenders, sued Genma in New York State Court for breach of warranty claims. The fact kind of overlapped with the lessor dispute. It wasn't exactly the dispute, but I don't think we need to get into all of that. The lawsuit was, Genma removed that lawsuit to New York Federal District Court, and then it came over to Southern District into Judge Jones's court. So the question is whether there's bankruptcy court jurisdiction, because again, you've got two parties that are not debtors, they're not even creditors, and it's under state law claims, which is okay with 157B3. But nevertheless, you've got two non-debtor parties, state law claims, post-confirmation. And so it looked like everything was aligning that the Fifth Circuit would determine that there was no related to jurisdiction. As Demetra pointed out this morning, the Fifth Circuit has held in Craig Storrs that the bankruptcy court jurisdiction narrows post-confirmation. And the reason why, under Fifth Circuit reasoning, there's no longer an estate. There's no longer a bankruptcy estate once the plan's confirmed. And the traditional definition of related to is that the matter has some conceivable effect on a bankruptcy estate. If it doesn't exist, you know, there's not going to be much there. But the court said there will be related to jurisdiction for matters related to implementation or execution of the plan. Did that fall under that umbrella? So the Fifth Circuit said that this case lives at the limits of related to jurisdiction, which I thought was a very powerful statement. I love that statement. The winning argument from Genma was that if the bank gets a judgment against Genma, then that's going to compromise its ability to comply with its obligations under the settlement agreement. That persuaded the Fifth Circuit. The Fifth Circuit said, yeah, I agree with you. If there are damages, that threatens Genma, who agreed to fund the primary payments under a plan. That's going to affect the plan's implementation or execution. I thought it was fascinating. I would not have anticipated that ruling, but I mean, I can see where they would hold that. So the court kind of stayed faithful to Craig Storrs. And I say that because in the decision, they also went through, briefly, the Enron Securities case, which was after Craig Storrs in the Fifth Circuit. And it was a little bit, I don't know if it was a different standard, but it was certainly a gloss on Craig Storrs. And this panel said, you know, only the Enron court followed the Enron standard. So we're going to go back to Craig Storrs. And that was, I think, very instructive for us as practitioners. Like, the Fifth Circuit is still really looking at Craig Storrs and how to comply with that standard.
So one thing I found really interesting about this case, Omar, is that the Fifth Circuit said that, and I'm going to read the actual words here, the threat to the plan was attenuated, hypothetical, and contingent, and yet it still supported jurisdiction.
Yeah, right. Because under that standard. And the other thing where I've seen that happen is you'll see a lot of courts that say, look, post-confirmation jurisdiction, any jurisdiction question starts with and ends with 28 U.S.C. 1334, right? And so there may be instances in which there isn't that effect, but nevertheless, the bankruptcy court's going to have jurisdiction. And this one, I do agree, it is kind of at the fringes and at the edge of related to jurisdiction, but I was kind of pleased to see the Fifth Circuit have an expansive view of what the bankruptcy courts can do when I'm on that side.
Yeah, very protective of the reorganization, right? Let's see, Virial. Christina, these debtors almost lost their discharge, right, for failure to follow a court local procedure on a mortgage loan modification that popped up during the case. And, of course, that happens a lot in Chapter 13 cases. So what's the takeaway?
Sure. So this is also a Judge Rodriguez case. And in this case, the debtors proposed a plan where they were going to pay their property taxes direct. During the pendency of the case, they were able to get a loan modification with the mortgage company, and the mortgage company paid the property taxes that the debtors failed to pay. The debtors did file a motion to get approval to refinance and get that loan modification, but they failed to modify. So the current confirmed plan was one that had them required to pay the property taxes. They filed their certification saying they made all payments under the plan, but they actually hadn't because they hadn't paid the property taxes. Luckily, Judge Rodriguez held that since they hadn't made all payments under the plan, the debtors could still modify and gave them an opportunity to modify the plan to reflect the loan modification so that they could qualify for a discharge. The reason that I think this case is really important is because we have so many clients who took those COVID forbearances over the last few years, and quite a few of them don't bother to tell us that they signed modification paperwork. So really look at the notice of mortgage payment changes that you see coming in right now.